Recordings are now started.
Thank you very much, Chris. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the NCUC pre-quality course webinar on Wednesday, 21st of February, 2018 at 2100 UTC for 60 minutes. On call today, we have Bruna Santos, Karina Virada, Carlos Reyes, Katerina Wayomes, Claire Craig, Elsa Sade, Farrell Foley, Kobotso, Hulud Dawahi, Mauricia Abdul, Renata Aquino Ribeiro, Shahu Hamid, Tomslin Sama Nla. And from staff, we have myself, Mariam Bakoshi, and the trainer team, Jean Trengrove. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for translation purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you, Carlos.
Thank you very much, Miriam. Hello, everyone. This is Carlos Reyes. I work with Miriam on the policy development support team. And in the background, I have been working with the community now for about 5 years. I've been at ICANN 5 years. And we're very excited for this course. As Miriam mentioned, we have Jim Trengrove here to present a training. But I would first like to welcome and introduce Renata Aquino Ribeiro. As you know, she's NCUC chair, and she's been super helpful in developing the course and ensuring that the course addresses some of the concerns that you've raised in terms of trying to prepare the NCUC for policy writing and make sure that we have you equipped to do so. So, Renata, I'll hand it over to you to see if you have any opening remarks.
Thank you, Carlos. Renata here. It's great to have the support of ICANN in our first policy course. NCUC has always been involved in emerging policy issues in ICANN and public comments, PGPs, policy development processes, and working groups, and we take really seriously our newcomers training with our newcomers corner in our website. So it's great to have this in ICANN 61, and I am sure it will be a great opportunity for our all members in the sense that you can start from here to participate in much more processes in NCC. So thank you again, and Jim, or Marion, if you would like to enlighten us on the next step, thank you. Sorry about the noise here.
Thank you very much, Renata. I will hand over to Jim. Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Renata. Thank you, Carlos. Thank you, Mariam. and welcome. I am Jim Trengrove, and I do appreciate this opportunity to talk with you, to listen to you, to exchange some knowledge and some ideas during this webinar, and for those who will be at ICANN 61 in Puerto Rico. I look forward to meeting you and working with some of you as well during our scheduled training. Now, some of you I know already from during my time at ICANN, and I look forward to meeting new folks. That was one of my joys of my time at ICANN. I'm glad you've decided to invest some time and energy into making yourself better communicators in order to become successful, particularly as a member of the ICANN community and the NCUC, but also in your professional lives. Now, you may already be a good writer and simply need some structure, some massaging of your content, and that's what we hope to be doing through these sessions. NCUC members, and this probably applies to the newer members, I know are trying to balance their professional lives with their volunteer work within ICANN, and some of you might be overwhelmed by the continuous flow of policy development processes ICANN unveils, and you might be struggling to keep pace. So hopefully this training and what we do in Puerto Rico will ease that burden quite a bit, maybe even make public writing, public comment writing fun for you. So a couple of thoughts as we begin. During this first part of this webinar, I'll be sharing some practical information about public comment writing, some of the best practices I've come across. And then we'll look at some examples of public comments that I've chosen. We'll break them down a bit to show what I think works, does not work. And hopefully you have the links to the full comments, the four examples. It didn't work to put all that text onto slides, but I pulled some highlights from those comments, and we'll discuss them. And if you don't have the full comments, that's not a problem. You'll still be able to follow along by the content you see on the slides. Now, this exercise will work much better when we are face-to-face at the training sessions in Puerto Rico. But this today will give you a flavor of what we're going to do and actually allow you to go in some archived public comments and make your own analysis on substance and style. And, of course, in Puerto Rico, we will write in groups and as individuals. You know, preparing for this, I raised some of my own questions, which I don't necessarily have answers to, but hopefully will with your guidance. For instance, do you comment on everything? When do you comment as a constituency, and when do you comment as an individual? And if English is not your native language, how easy is it for you to write in English? Some of these questions are contained in the writing survey that NCUC sent out in preparation for this training. So if you haven't yet responded, please do, and we'll have the results by Puerto Rico, and I'm looking forward to the results of that. Finally, as we begin, you will see photos of members throughout the slides from the ICANN community, members who you know are not members of the NCUC. I know they aren't as well, but they probably all write public comments too, and besides, I wanted to dress up the slides with some pictures. So we should run about, I think, just 30 minutes through this and then some Q&A if questions, if you have any. So let's begin. You know, I found this comment from Kathy Kleinman, who if you know the NCUC, you know Kathy. Decisions at ICANN are made by people who show up, people who scream most loudly. Well, yes, that is one way to communicate. But actually, there are three skills, I think, that you need to communicate effectively: speaking, listening, and writing. And in order to succeed in communicating, no matter what your definition of success, I think you need to be able to do all three. You need to verbally communicate your ideas. You need to listen to, comprehend the responses, synthesize them, and then summarize it all in writing. Now, I'm not saying that you need to activate all these skills whenever you discuss an idea in the hallway outside an ICANN meeting or at night at the hotel bar, but you always ought to be able to process information in a way so that if the issue were important enough and timely enough, you could organize your thoughts and lay them out in a document, a position paper, or a public comment. Now, the leadership of the NCUC recognizes that the public comment process as the most effective way for its members to participate in the development of ICANN policy. In fact, I saw that it dedicates the first five pages of its revised operational procedures document from this past fall, outlining specific steps on how the NCUC should comment. The new specific guidelines, to me, however, as I say, raise some questions for NCU members. Among them, how prepared are members to collaborate in writing public comments? How many have collaborated previously? And what qualities and what skills are required to be a pen holder? These questions were behind the idea of the survey that we sent out, an attempt to get a general idea where NCUC members are with their writing skills. Now, developing writing skills and confidence of more NCUC members will broaden the pool of available contributors to the community's public comment effort. It'll infuse it with diversity and new ideas, and the result will be an NCUC that speaks with a stronger community voice and with increased influence. Now, this proposed training program is designed to prepare NCU members, NCUC members, to effectively collaborate with one another towards the objective of developing a succinct, coherent response to issues raised during a policy development process. Now, if you've spent any time with ICANN, either at one of its annual meetings or online with the working group, you know there are ample opportunities to communicate your ideas, but there are also ample ideas being communicated. So you need to compete for attention. Sharpening your communication skills, and it's your writing skills that we'll be focused on, I think would give you the advantage. Now, reasons that you write. Well, it's an opportunity to build NCUC status within the ICANN community through thoughtful constituent feedback. You can make your voice heard. It's a chance to share diverse opinions on policy within your constituency as the first step towards collaboration on a policy. And it's an opportunity to engage with others outside of ICANN, not only as an NCUC member, but as a member of the ICANN community. Now, planning your comment. It's important that you understand the rules and the process of the public comment and the public comment period. You should weigh the content of what you want to include in your public comment with the length. That needs to be balanced. You need to identify specific areas of concern that you'd like to address, and you want to clearly be able to state your reasoning. You want to get research to support your claims, and you want to be able to present evidence. And you want to establish your expertise as a constituency or an individual, but you want to distinguish your comments from all others, and then add examples of personal stories that affected members of your constituency to support your position. And then acknowledge why you have to acknowledge the opposing views, the ones you're opposed to, and then explain why my position is the best position. Now, you're going to have to structure your writing, and we'll go through this a few times here today, but first of all, you need to address it to a specific group or individual. You want to state the policy or issue of concern and your position on it. You want to introduce your constituency and, again, why it is uniquely qualified to comment on this issue. And, again, describe how your comments, how your constituents would be affected positively or adversely by the policy issue. You want to recognize, again, the opposing views and offer solutions, all alternatives, and explain how your position actually improves the policy. And then you want to close your comment with a compelling summary and a call to action. Now, since you've entrusted your valuable time and attention to me, I think it's best that you know something a little bit more about me. This photo that I used to introduce myself, I'm the tallest of the four there, was taken in Yerevan, Armenia, either 2010, 2011, with a few members of the Internet Society of Armenia with whom I visited, including the founder of ISOC in Armenia, Igor Makartumian, who's the father of the Internet in Armenia. And it was an honor to have breakfast with these folks, and it was fascinating to hear Igor tell stories of the early days of the Internet, especially how John Postel, the father of ICANN, personally handed him the license to administer and manage the new country code for Armenia. I spent 33 years as a broadcast journalist producing news and covering politics in Chicago and Washington, D.C. I worked with some great people. The late Gwen Ifill in the bottom left-hand corner, journalist I worked for at the PBS NewsHour. The building up on the right is the Capitol, where I spent 21 years covering politics. And that's me with Bill Clinton in an interview that we did. And if you have time sometime, if we're in Puerto Rico, I'll tell you about that interview. It was the day the Monica Lewinsky story broke, and it was quite a day, quite an experience. But throughout all my career, just dealing with a bunch of different communicators, and I tried to bring those skills up to ICANN when I came over, I became senior director of communications 2009 to 2015, when I left ICANN, the last 3 years I was on staff with the official title, and I worked Beckstrom and Fadi Shahadi, Peter Dengate Thrush, and Steve Crocker, and hundreds of wonderful staff members. And among the projects that we worked on, I was led the effort to create, promote, and market the new GTLD program, as well as handle the communications for the IANA transition. I've done a great deal of work with ALAC, with the NOMCOM, with FSAC, the GNSO, with the GAC, with all the community groups. And I know I've enjoyed sitting down and speaking, having recorded interviews with Rafiq Damak and William Drake, Milton Mueller. So I was thrilled to get an invitation to come back and work with you all at ICANN 61 in Puerto Rico. Now, I want to talk a little bit about how you get to the public comments. And for me, it begins with the ICANN website. You know, I think the website does a pretty good job relaying information about all that is going on. And I say that having been somewhat involved in revisions in the website during my time at ICANN, and I think it has just gotten better. So if you are new to ICANN, you can click through the website for hours and you begin to piece together a picture of ICANN, its mission, its structure, its operating procedures, its communities, and the many issues it addresses. And if you go along the top of the page of ICANN.org, you'll see three tabs, Get Started, Policy, and Public Comment. The Get Started gives you offers a beginner's guide to the IANA functions, participating in ICANN, ALAC. There's a newcomers program. On the policy, you click the policy tab. You'll learn about developing policy at ICANN, on the DNS and ICANN supporting organizations, the gnso.icann.org. Go there. I'll show you how to participate, how to make a public comment, volunteer for a working group, information on operational policy and general practice. And the third tab, and the one we want to focus on, is the public comment. Now, as the website states, public comment proceedings feature proposals initiated by a working group or department. And if you are new to ICANN, especially to the public comment process, then the four options this site offers for your exploration really does open up the world of ICANN. You can click on any one of the four tabs, and you can get lost in a good way, reading through the comments on dozens of issues that really trace the history of policymaking within ICANN over the years. There's the open comments, those issues that are currently open for your comment. The recently closed issues, comments which gives newcomers an idea where ICANN's focus has been for the past several months. Upcoming comments, which gives you an idea about potential upcoming public comment proceedings to help you and your community set priorities and plan your future workloads. And archived comments, which you can explore at your leisure, tracing the road through ICANN's policy development process all the way back to 2007, and there are earlier comments there as well. But once you jump into that pool of public comments, you're going to find very little similarity among them. You're going to find vast differences in the thought process, in structure, in clarity, in message delivery, and as a result, you'll find vast differences in overall effectiveness. Now, there's no one right way to write a public comment, but I think there are plenty of wrong ways to do it. And so I think four things to keep in mind when you sit down to write a public comment. You want to be respectful, you want to be direct, you want to be brief, and you want to be convincing. Now, I've chosen four comment examples from the archives in no particular order, but I chose them for reasons which we'll discuss. And this is one of the things that we'll be doing at ICANN 61. We'll be choosing, reviewing, dissecting public comments, and discussing what works and what doesn't work. And that's going to help us when we actually sit down and start writing some comments. Now, one of the comments I chose, let's see, there we go. Anyway, let me see if I can bring this down here. Go back up and bring it back down. Okay, well, this is called Non-Commercial Stakeholders Group Comments on the Draft Recommendation of the Cross-Community Working Group on Accountability Workstream 2 on SOAC Accountability. And this is the introduction. NCSG welcomes the draft CCWG Accountability WS2 recommendation on SOAC accountability. These recommendations are an important contribution to strengthening ICANN's overall accountability, and in particular, that of the ICANN community. Now, however, you know, if you drop down to the conclusion, which I have done here, it basically repeats the same information. NCSG welcomes the draft recommendations. They are an important contribution to the evolution of the overall accountability of ICANN and its community. So the conclusion then misses an opportunity to really drive home whatever points the NCSG wanted to make. I think the conclusion is quite soft. You want to be able to finish up strongly and, as I said, come with a call of action. It's just the language is – the tone is soft. It's almost apologetic, I think. For instance, it says here – let me go to this one here. NCSG also looks forward to further discussion as to whether the recommendations as a whole adequately address the important issue of preventing capture. Well, what do you think? Do they? I mean, do you have an opinion? And if you do have an opinion on whether it does or not, you should state that. So, again, the comments itself come across somewhat, I think, apologetic in its tone. Let me go to here. Despite the 25 recommendations, there remains a broader question that does not seem fully answered. And on that issue of capture, as issue raised by the NTIA regarding internal capture by a subset of SOAC members, do the recommendations in Track 1 fully address this fundamental question? The recommendations appear to partially address the issue. And it goes on. It would be useful to understand how the recommendations concretely address the issue of capture in more detail. And I'll go one more here. NCSG suggests that it might also be useful for there to be a fuller understanding of best practices and I'll go on. So, you know, the issues of concern are there, and some of the concerns are expressed, but the language to me, it seems passive. Almost too polite, and I think if you're going to write a public comment, you want to be more impactful, again, more direct. Let me give you another one here. This is on structure, and this is the Non-Commercial Stakeholders Group on the Draft Report for Public Comment on the Review of the At-Large Community by ITEMS International. The comment includes 22 paragraphs. Let me see if I can get this. There we go. 22 paragraphs broken down into 5 issue subheadings, but there is no relationship between the numbers and the issues. The numbers are almost there to reference the number of paragraphs that they have there. Now, the introduction, as I said earlier, is where your tone and the attitude that you want to set is established for the duration of your comment. Now, the introduction here graciously welcomes the opportunity to comment. The NCSG would like to provide comment, and then it lists several issues in which it agrees with the agrees with the findings of the report. That at-large has been dominated by a few people. It is too focused on internal committees. It is not focused on holding ICANN via the board accountable. But the introduction continues. On with some lagging concerns that NCSG has. There's a perceived mission of overlap between at-large and the NCSG's constituencies. Random selection rather than merit-based selection in the appointment of at-large leadership roles should be looked into. And the concern over the idea of new GTLD auctions to be used to fund the ongoing activities of at-large. So there's that part there. Okay, so again, you know, the authors launch right into a point-by-point-by-point list of concerns without first introducing themselves and characterizing how they view the reports overall. Again, a missed opportunity to sort of in the introduction of hitting hard, of being direct, of being gracious, but setting yourself up and then doing your point by point. Now, the second, I said there were five sections. The second section titled is Relationship Between NCSG and the At-Large Community. All right, that's fine. The third section title is Random Selection is Imperfect, but Could It Be Better Than the Status Quo? Well, we've already discussed random selection. It was already addressed a few statements earlier. This section restates the issue and asks a question. The same thing happens in the fourth section. Opposition to new GTLD auction proceeds fund being used to fund the ongoing activities of at-large unless that is the community's decision. That's the headline title of that section. So once again, it states opposition to the issue, which we heard about earlier, this time with a caveat. Then there's another section called Other Observations. Let's see if we have that here. Yeah, Other Observations. Let me go down. Yeah, there we go. Anyway, Other Observations, where it's really just one other issue concerning the structure of ALAC and could have been titled as such. And so, although these issues are valid and the opposition is apparent, the structure of the comment I don't think is well-formed. And then there's the conclusion. The conclusion here. Here we go. This is the conclusion, right. The conclusion said, and it's basically one paragraph that simply repeats what was said in the first paragraph. It welcomes the opportunity to respond. Again, a missed opportunity to summarize your overall concern. And still, you can appreciate the people who put the report together. And then I'm going to do one more example here. And this is an individual, Alex Gakuru. I don't know if you know Alex, and I'm not sure when this is from, but this is an individual comment that he made. And I like this because he's chairman of the ICT Consumers Association of Kenya, an irrepressible individual internet users' rights lobbyist, which I like that his attempt at humor there. But hereby making a personal view of the IRT proposal. So that's his introduction. It's short, it's simple, almost too short and too simple. How do you feel about it, Alex, going into this? Sort of characterize what you're about to say and then get into your point by point. And he does that very well, I think. Free expression. The proposal will curtail online expression, which will be counterproductive to our ongoing efforts on expanded IPv6 online expression space. Fair use. By overprotecting and advancing trademarks, IRT will further serve to criminalize innovation from remix of older works for private and for fair use. Competition. As corporations grow, competition may be stifled. So a good listing of his concerns there. But his closing comment, very simple. Therefore, in view of my above concerns, I pray that I can reject the IRT proposal. So let's get into the structure after those three comments, designing and writing an effective public comment. What you want to do. The first stage is plan your position. So you get together, you need to understand your policy, and you want to understand the position you are taking for or against it. You want to know your audience and what you hope to achieve by writing your comment. Now, you may have several issues within that policy to which you want to respond. However, if you can, it's best to limit your comment to a specific concern. You can always try to group several issues within a larger concern and present it that way. Again, you want to research your comment. You want to know the policy and the facts surrounding the policy so you can submit a fact-based comment, one that relies on specifics rather than generalities. And you want to determine how your position would make the policy better. You have to be able to support your claims. And then the third stage is write your comment. And actually, we can break this down paragraph by paragraph if we want. Paragraph one, you want to identify yourself and state the policy at hand. You want to recognize the work of the volunteers who put the policy together. And then you want to specify your opposition or support to the policy or a part of the policy. Might well be opposed to some aspects, supportive of others, but you want to be able to explain that broadly in your introduction. Second paragraph, you want to support your objection or your claim with reason and evidence. You want to explain why you or your constituency is expertly, even uniquely qualified to comment on this issue. You want to connect to the people you represent. How will they be affected by this policy? You want to share their perspective. You want to identify an experience. And again, you want to distinguish your comment from others or other groups. Next paragraph. You can use this to propose an alternative solution and present a plan of action to make your solution work. And you do that by identifying key indicators of success, maybe even present a timeline that could monitor success. And paragraph five, be compelling in your summarization. Express your appreciation to the policymakers for the opportunity to respond. But again, restate your concerns, your objections, and urge a call to action around your alternative solution. So I said we had four comments. Here's the last one. And this came from Robin Gross, IP Justice comments. And I believe this comment from an individual, I believe it clicks all or most of the boxes for being an effective public comment. It identifies the organization and its purpose and mission. It says right there what the IP Justice does, nonprofit in San Francisco, balancing intellectual property rights with internet law and policy. But then the author immediately states her overall objection in the introduction to the IRT proposals. IP Justice is opposed to all the major proposals contained within the IRT report, as being beyond the bounds of trademark law and beyond the scope of ICANN's technical mandate. So it identifies several issues in particular, but groups them under that one strong statement in the opening paragraph. And then she goes on to list individually the issues and the reasons for her opposition. The IRT report proposes to shift the burden and the cost of protecting brands over to internet users and away from private companies who benefit from the privileges of trademark protection. We are concerned about the harmful impact on freedom of expression, particularly criticism and non-commercial speech by the proposed rules. And IP Justice is further opposed to the biased composition of the IRT team and the secretive manner in which it did its work. So pretty strong language, very direct, the tone of the public comment, forceful, but respectful. And it recognizes the efforts. Let me go back and see if I can just line this up. Recognizes the efforts of the volunteer. Despite his hard work and long hours, which we all recognize and appreciate, the IRT team failed its mandate to find a solution acceptable to all. So then it offers solutions, or one solution. ICANN should ensure other stakeholders' views can be heard, and not only the IP constituency, by providing travel support to the non-commercial users and others who have significant concerns with the proposals but no resources to participate. And finally, she finishes with a strong conclusion and a call to action. ICANN must not allow the constant threats from intellectual property lobbyists prevent organizations from introducing new GTLDs and creating an internet that benefits everyone. And here's the call to action. Please do not allow the threats to hold up the process any further by continuing with the IRT report in any form. So really strong, very passionate as well. And I would imagine this probably was an easy one for Robin to write. Again, she brings a good deal of passion to the issues, and that's important to have if you're going to sit down and write a comment. You don't want your comment to look perfunctory. And during my research, I came across quite a few that came off as an obligation rather than a passionate mission of love to get your point across. Now, I realize it's also different if you're writing as a group or if you're writing as an individual. You have different obligations. And if you're writing as for the constituency, you may have to ingress a total issue with several points. And if it's going to be long, it's going to be long. But if it's got structure, it's going to hold together. So that's the part of it here. We can talk about the theory of public comment writing, and we can dissect the work of others, and we can learn from it. But writing is doing, and that's what we'll be doing at the training session of the ICANN 61. And I hope to see you all there. We have some time for questions and answers, or questions. I don't know if I'll have the answers, but if anybody does have a question or a comment, they can go ahead.
Renata here. Thanks, Jim. Great presentation. Just raised my hand here to address also some of the comments we have just seen. So we have individual comments and collective comments as we do our policy through policy committee and CSG using some NCSG comments. I would like to question, Jim. You've mentioned in the first comment about the tone being apologetic, and some may interpret that being polite or being soft-handed into the issue, presenting it initially without a strong statement, could possibly make the comment be better received or discussed in packing the punch for later. Would you agree with that? That it's there are advantages on being polite as well in the comment, or you really think we should just go be impactful and direct from the first line as you presented on the last comment? So I'm just wondering about that. What's the limit there? Thank you, Jim.
That's a good question, I tried to stress a couple of times during the presentation of the importance of being respectful and gracious. And I think all of that comes out in the comments. I mean, there are no personal attacks. But it's a way of stating your opposition to something. If you do it in the form of a question, like, do you really think, or do you think more is needed? If you have a position on that, I mean, if you're asking that question, then you must believe that, yes, more is needed. So to me, it's better to put it in that direct way than backing into it that way. So you can be direct, as Robin said, despite the hard work of the volunteers, and we appreciate their good work. I mean, things like that help. But, again, this is your public comment, and if you're speaking – for the constituency, or it's the constituency that is speaking, you want to be impactful. So I agree. You don't want to go for the jugular, as they say, but you can be impactful, but be direct. But you can do so being respectful and without attacking anyone. Shahul asked, wonderful presentation. I've got a question. How's the collective comments being coordinated within the constituency? Well, we've gotten a few, and I'm wondering if you're talking about the survey. And Renata, I think we're going to, I know we got a few comments back, but we were hoping for more, and so we're going to wait another week or two, or are you going to send them out again? We can discuss that off the call here. But I am very interested in seeing the results of it. And so if more people can participate in the survey, that would be helpful.
Sorry, just before we go on to the other questions. Yes, Jim, I'll send you via email some comments we are working on. But just for a practical point of view of Shahu's question, we have the policy committee in CSG who shares the calls to volunteers for our comments, and hence we all collaborate in a document. Perhaps, Jim, if you could address Shahu's questions as to when we have different views in the constituency, or when we have when we need to collaboratively edit a document, reach its final form. How does one negotiate the survey? We had some members who were. But how does the stakeholder role work? So perhaps if you could address it this way. Thank you.
It's interesting because you're talking about compromise. And I saw the specific outlines in the operational procedures from September on how to write a public comment, and it was very specific. And if you haven't seen these, and I think we'll be able to get the resources out to everyone to make sure you have, but I know that I was impressed by the almost a date-to-date progress of the pen holder attracting comments, commingling the comments, doing a draft, going back. I mean, there's a process, but in the end, it's how strongly do you feel about the process, or how strongly do you feel about the issue that is the constituency going to go out and soften its position on something because somebody doesn't like anything, or if somebody doesn't like something, should that person issue something as an individual comment and make the constituency comment stronger? It really is a trade-off, and I think what's nice about it is the ability to sit down and talk, and I know that's it's hard to do face-to-face when people are all over the world. And it's not easy to do when you're sending notes back and forth by email. So I'm not sure how you folks get together all the time and discuss things. I mean, I've been and my wife does international calls, and she's been using Zoom. And you can really, you know, you're seeing the people, and you're hearing their voices, and you're seeing their expressions. And I think it's more worthwhile doing it that way than maybe trading emails and notes where you really can't get the texture necessarily or the tone of what the person's trying to say. Again, you know, I covered the U.S. Congress for 21 years, and I saw – and that was at a time when the Congress was actually getting things done. And they were trading off, and they were making compromises. So – it's how strongly do you feel about the issue, and can you put your signature to the final document or do you need to go elsewhere? Do you need to go off your, by yourself and do your own document? The multiple attendees are typing, I'm concerned now.
Hello, can I ask a question now?
Sure, absolutely.
Right. Okay, this is Claire Craig. I have a comment and two questions. First, thank you for this presentation. I thought it was very straightforward and very easy to follow. I particularly like the idea that you had so many examples. It made it really easy to see and understand what you were speaking about. My first question is, I am a newcomer to the NCUC, so how do you know when it is appropriate to do an individual comment on a policy? That's the first question. And secondly, as a newcomer, is there some kind of grace period? Should you wait out and, you know, look and see what is happening before you step into the fray and decide to make comments on issues?
Well, Renata, I'll let you jump in, but I would say I would do the second first. I would wait unless you feel that there is a disaster is imminent if you don't comment. But I think what you need to do is, and especially if you know that it is a good practice of the pen holder to be able to do that, to go out and collect different opinions and put them together to see if you can form a policy out of that. But that's one of the questions I raised earlier in the webinar presentation, is when do you go alone and when do you do it as a group? Now, you are a member of the group, and you have to weigh your allegiance there with your own I don't want to say your own moral beliefs, But are you able to compromise? So it says a lot about you rather than what you should do. It comes down to how you feel about whether you feel so strongly that you need to go individually or maybe save that for another time. Renata?
Thank you, Jim. And thank you, Claire, for your question. Renata here. Indeed, it's always almost a waiting game to see when a comment goes out and if you are ready or not, next one. So I think it's a common state of mind for newcomers. Another way from what Jim said, I think that specifically NCC, indeed, we are civil society, so we are spread thin, and we are digital rights practitioners, activists, researchers. So there are very few of us, and listening to our perspective is very unique and very important in ICANN. So I would try to collaborate in our document so everybody can collaborate. So try and do a collaboration. What could happen is that you don't get incorporated in the final document, as Ron mentioned there. So I would be adventurous, let's put it like this. But I agree that doing exercises is quite a good idea, like getting comments first and so on. Thank you, Jim, for your reply. And you have lots of questions on queue here. Let's see how it goes.
Okay. Oh, I see. Oh, hold on. Here we go. I'm at the wrong. This may be a rhetorical question, but will we have access to this PowerPoint? I believe so, and I think also because Carlos and Mariam will be able to talk about that, but I think these PowerPoints, and I know the slide deck will be sent out. We talked about that earlier today, and probably the recording with it. And also, I didn't talk about ICANNLEARN. I don't know if you're familiar with that. That was just developing when I left ICANN, and it's a, sort of the educational arm. And actually, I had that in my initial slide deck. But I think ICANNLEARN, you know, you can set up your own course, curriculum for learning about ICANN. And there is a course, Introduction to the GNSO, which is course number 131.1, and you sign up, and it just gives you the quick facts, and it just you can finish the course and you know, put in the answers, and it's fun, it's interactive, and it's a good learning experience, and it gets you it can really get anybody ready to go into an ICANN experience. Again, you can pick and choose what you want to focus on. But the ICANNLEARN information is good. ICANNLEARN will be at the training session in ICANN 61, and apparently we will be recording this on video and editing it so that we'll be able to present it as a in the course curriculum.
Hi, Jim, Renata. There are so many comments and questions. That's great, everyone.
Oh,
keep them
yeah.
coming.
Yeah, I'm just seeing the
so
nails.
You have,
read the working group has become and some joy the working group works hard. Well, that's interesting. I'm reading Ron Wickersham's comment. The majority on the working group works hard to marginalize the impact of unwelcome comments. Okay. Penholder practice exercise suggestions. Well, that's what we're going to be doing at ICANN 61. We're going to take turns being penholders, so I want to be able to design the training so somebody that we can take turns being the penholders, but at the same time take turns writing individual comments as well. How does the ICANN board viewer weigh consensus policy position or comment from the community, if relevant? I think the consensus policy, because, you know, if you can get a consensus, it's a policy, it's not necessarily consensus policy. I mean, if you, unless you deliver a policy that is watered down, soft, you know, kind of half addressing the issues, not as strong as it could be. You know, maybe then the board would look at it and says, oh, that's a consensus because they couldn't agree on anything. But at the same time, you could have a strong public comment coming out of the NCUC that is strong, direct, and it's consensus as well. So, you know, it comes down to again, the tone and how it's delivered, and if it's direct, you know, through the writing you can mask any differences or any pushback that you were getting, as long as you can get your members to agree to the language. How to assess the effectiveness of a public comment? Well, are people talking about it? Are people on the board talking about it? Does it change? You know, ultimately, you want to impact the policy. So are you I was not in doing policy work, so I would, and I certainly have never been on the ICANN board, but, you know, if the if the public comment is strong, and it's a, and it's from the constituency, and it's, you know, it's, I'm not saying that individual comments don't have impact, but I think if I get a strongly worded, direct, fact-based, solutions offered, well-written, structured comment from the NCUC that looks like it knows what it's doing, that it knows what it's want, it knows the solutions other than what's being proposed, and if you offer all of that, I think that could be very impactful. Because what you don't want to go in is complain about something and not offer anything as a solution. Okay, am I missing any other comments here? I think I've caught up so far.
I think Dawawi Kulut, your mic, we're not hearing you. Renata here. She has her hand up,
okay.
And her mic is open, I think.
Okay, we'll go ahead and speak.
But yeah, I think she her hand is down, so she will try and sort this maybe. But Jim, just so I think we covered most of the questions here. So as also we had so many points of views here, comments and questions, if anyone would like to also give a feedback on the webinar, I would like to give a feedback to Jim. Jim, I really like the part where you say planning is good and you give a few pointers on how to plan a public comment down to each paragraph. So this could be something like, I don't know, a cue card, a checklist we have always at hand. Thank you. It was very good presentation. Thank you very much.
Well, you know, Renata, I like what you had written an email to me several weeks ago talking about the, and I think I've even included some of your language in the presentation, about the balance of people with their normal lives and volunteering with ICANN, and oh no, now I got to write a public comment, and where do I start, and what am I thinking? You know, so, you know, by the end of this training, yes, we could do a checklist and check the boxes, and it's almost formulaic, and it may ease your mind that you just have to plug in, and then, of course, massage the content, but you plug in the elements at the right location. So it's formulaic, but it's also flexible. So I'm not saying you have to have 5 paragraphs, maybe you have 10 paragraphs. If you look at Robin's comment, there were no headlines, there were no sections, it was one letter, it was short, it was brief. But if you're writing for a constituency and you've got a pen holder and you've got other people bringing in comments, you know, you're probably and you're addressing a policy, a broad policy. You're probably going to have to go longer and address a lot of issues. And also, one thing I didn't mention, but it just occurs to me, you know, when I said, you know, address the opposition, don't be afraid to address the opposition. You should recognize the opposition. But even if there's opposition within your constituency, don't be afraid to recognize that as well. And to say, you know, we did struggle with this. Because right away, if you don't do that, somebody may call you on that and say, but isn't it true that, you know, 25% of your members don't like this or, you know, this or that? If you bring it up first and how you worked around it, then you can show that you're a group that can work together. Even though you have your differences, you can come to a consensus.
Thank you, Jim. Renata here. That's great feedback. I really like that. I sort of feel we're a mad scientist here when you said that it could be formulaic. So the mad scientist of comments. Very, very interesting. I would just I think we had set aside 60 minutes for this call. So just a quick time check for that. And then we are already on top of our hour. I would thank Jim very much for this amazing presentation. And we will have another one tomorrow. We can also come up with other questions and answers, everyone. We wanted to do this in two different time zones so that our members can participate. And again, we will share more materials, work a little bit more towards Puerto Rico. And do know that we will have online participation as well in Puerto Rico, also for NCC sessions. So it would be great if you could join us again and become even more engaged in NCC. Thank you once more, Jim.
All right. Thank you. And thank you, everybody, for attending and for taking the time out. I know you're at all different time zones and have other obligations and responsibilities. So I appreciate this very much.
Thank you very much, everyone, for attending the call. Chris, you may stop the recording and disconnect all lines. Thank you so much for your time today.
All right. Thank you, everybody.
Bye-bye. Thanks, Jim.
Bye-bye.
Bye.